As always, it is so good to be with you. And it's really great and exciting to see how that our Mass attendance is on the rise. We had 400 people attend Mass last weekend with another 150 devices to live streaming. So Mass attendance alone has increased 53% since our first Mass a few weeks ago. I think that's very encouraging. And we look forward to seeing you at Mass when you feel comfortable to come and attend. Jesus called it a holy name. It's mentioned 1,500 times in the scriptures. That's substantial. And it is the name Father. And as this is Father's Day weekend, I want us to spend a few moments today focusing on being a great father. Having two grown children myself, one of which turned 38 this week, and being father of this wonderful parish family of several thousand people, I know how challenging being a father is. And today's readings are perfect for the occasion of encouraging fathers, because Jesus knew this. He knew that the disciples would face many challenges in life, but his word to them was this: do not fear, do not be afraid, for I am with you. So let's turn now and see what we can learn about being a great father. Point one, very important: God created you to be a great father. Let this truth sink down into the very core of your being. God created you to be a great father. See, God doesn't make mediocre fathers. God didn't sit down on his throne at the beginning of creation and say to himself, I need at least one mediocre father. No, he didn't do that. God made us all to be great fathers. And a great father doesn't mean a perfect father either. You know, there's that Superman mentality that's out there today. There's going to be times when we blow it. That's why I don't think it's by accident that God spoke to the prophet Balaam in Numbers 22 through his donkey, or what we call his ass. God knew that there would be many fathers through the centuries who, including myself, would need a visual reminder that God can work through fathers even if they occasionally act like a donkey or you can fill that word in for yourself. See, a great father isn't a perfect father, but it is one who recognizes his sins and his shortcomings and humbly asks God to forgive them, asks God to shape them into the father he wants him to be, and is willing to try his best to become a great father. God created you to be a great father. Point two, God provides us with fantastic instruction on how we are to go about doing this. Remember, God created us as fathers, and by all means, he knows how that we work. He knows how that father works. Remember, that's the hallowed name of God himself. And so what we need to do is read the instruction manual in order to be prepared. And I'm talking about the Holy Scriptures. See, the Bible is jam-packed full of instruction and inspiration on how to be a great father. But to get there, you have to first read it and then apply it. We can also apply the rich tradition of the church, which instructs us as well on fatherhood. And there are so many great pieces that are published by the church on how to be a great father. Now, being a man, I know that men are aversive sometimes to reading the instruction manual. And in the end, when they get done putting something together, there's a few nuts, bolts, and extra pieces that go along with it. So we don't want to do that. It's okay if it's a swing set, but we don't want to do that here. Because if you want to be a great father, you have to read the instruction that God the Father gave us. Listen to a newspaper clipping that my father sent me 30 years ago. I still got it. Which is great instruction on how to be a good Christian father. And attached to the article was this note: this is how I feel. And it was from Ann Landers, Remember her? And it was titled, I'm Your Father, Not Your Friend. Let's read it. There's a big difference between a friend's role and a father's role. A father's role is a lot more difficult, but particularly it is more important for you. A father must provide his children constant love, daily economic subsistence, and appropriate education within his means. He must also protect them physically and emotionally, guide them, and set a good example. But more importantly, instill in them Christian, ethical, and moral values so that they may become a more responsible, self-sufficient, and compassionate human being. A friend does not have authority rights over you. However, as your father, I do, and it isn't because it gives me great satisfaction to impose my authority, but it is because it is my responsibility to discipline you. My obligation as a father is to give you what you need and not necessarily what you want. When you were born, God gave me a blessing that has given me great happiness, but at the same time, He gave me a mission that nobody else can perform, and it is the most difficult and toughest a human being can receive. That mission is to be God's instrument to show you the right path to follow. Someday, God will make me accountable for the fulfillment of this great and yet so noble and satisfying of a commitment. The third point is this: hug your children. In today's world, it's so important to hug your children as often as you can and tell them that you love them. In many ways, more is demanded of fathers today than it was 50 years ago. We're called to be super dads. We've got to do everything. But I go back to the story of my dad. At the age of 35, I was trying to reconcile something. By then, I had children. I was trying to reconcile the relationship that I had with my father and the one that I had with my two sons. See, Dad was tough. He was tough. But it finally dawned on me one day that if I'd fought in the trenches of World War II, I might be tough also. Dad never told me he loved me until I asked him when I was an adult, to which he said, well, of course I love you. But he went on to say, he showed it. He lived it out by putting food on the table, clothes on our backs, and a roof over our head. And then it finally dawned upon me, if I'd grown up in the Depression era, I probably would have felt the same way. See, that was love in action. Now, in some ways, the role of fatherhood has changed, and it has definitely become more demanding than 50 years ago. But 50 years ago, back then, there was more trust, and families lived closer together, so it wasn't that emotional attachment wasn't as critical as it is today, because today we're so far from each other. Today, we don't trust people. So that's why we as fathers need to go the extra mile of hugging our children as often as possible and tell them you love them. I love to text my sons every week in some way or some fashion and tell them I love them. I love you, son. And they really appreciate that. The fourth point is to model Saint Joseph. There's one tangible role model that fits the bill for being a great father. You could sort of say he's not your average Joe, okay? In fact, he's known as the world's greatest earthly father, and he is Saint Joseph of the Holy Family. Matthew writes about him that he was a righteous man. He was a good and uprighteous man. And as a saint, Saint Joseph is only second to Mary. And we see all of his goodness, all of his righteousness in his relationship with Mary, the Mother of God, Jesus, and the Heavenly Father. I really like what one of the doctors of the church wrote about Saint Joseph. It goes like this: I encourage you to be devoted to this glorious saint, For I know from long experience the benefits one obtains from God. I have never known anyone who is truly devoted to Saint Joseph and performs particular services in his honor who did not advance greatly in virtue. So if you don't know a lot about Joseph, I would strongly encourage you to do so. And the final point is this: God is the perfect father. Now, this point is really more for the children of fathers, but come to think of it, that'd be everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice. You have to remember this. Maybe your father passed at an early age, or your father has not been the greatest of role models. Well, here's one of the rubs that goes along with that. Oftentimes, the perception of our earthly father is transferred on how we see God the Father. And so it can enrich or it can limit our relationship with God, particularly in the younger years. Now, while it does take some maturing, it takes some growing in your faith to do this, what we need to look at is God the Father as our primary role model of what it means to be the Father's child. For example, the Heavenly Father will not leave us. He will not disappoint us. He will spend time with us. He will direct us and he will empower us. He will provide for us and he will take care of us. He will love us with an everlasting love. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this evening. First of all, St. John Paul II reminds all fathers that we are called to reveal and relive on earth the fatherhood of God so that children will love the Heavenly Father. So ask God to help you to be a great role model before your children. And the second is this: ask Saint Joseph to assist you in being a great father. He will listen and he will help. Happy Father's Day, and God bless all of you.